Hi. Welcome in. Welcome. This is the Life Coaching Call with me, No BS Coach Julie. Good to see you all. I will be looking for Coach Mish and Coach Dina's hands to bring them up. They're going to be here with you in the chat and in the Q&A. Welcome. Welcome. I'm excited to see you all. Thank you. We have pre-selected this group today, and we are going to for the next couple of weeks. And then hopefully you saw in the newsletter that Corinne is giving you the gift of the old school hand raise for July. So, what does that mean? Life coaching in July, weight loss call in July. You'll be able to raise your hand. You won't be pre-selected. I see some happy people. So, that will be the July gift. Obviously, we're giving Corinne the gift of fat for her birthday, and she's giving us the gift of the hand raise. So, today, though, people are pre-selected. So I'm going to read out those names. Cheryl Grady, Rachel Horn, Deborah Kennedy, Ida Lopez. Please raise your hand. While we're doing that, yes, Coach Dean is in the chat. She's going to be in all caps. And I think Coach Meach is here too, all caps. And that is so their posts stand out and they will be in the Q&A. So we are really good to go here. So, yep, she's not yelling. Make sure your chat is set to everyone so that we can all see your wisdom. So, here we go. I am going to promote one of my four panelists here. Deborah, I see your hand first. Welcome.
There we go.
Hi, welcome.
Hi.
How are you? What are we working on today together?
So my husband has cancer. He has throat cancer. And I continue to have these little pity parties when all the time. And so I'm basically having a lot of thoughts about my thoughts, like stop, like this is enough. Like I'll start conversations honestly with just ignore my emotions because I'm so emotional and I tend to have these little I'm trying to get something done and I'll try to get in the flow and I just start these thoughts start racing, like thoughts that I know are true, like I have a ton of support, I know where to go, I know what to do, like I have a ton of. But they just won't stop. And so I'm really kind of looking for a power thought. And in the past, my power thought has always been like, when this is all over, you want to be healthy, you want to be strong. And so that's why it's so important to kind of keep up with the habits. And I've been trying to do habit stacking, but my habits are all over the place because sometimes he's demented. And then sometimes, you just, so I'm struggling. I'm really struggling.
Deborah, I'm so sorry he's going through that and that you both are going through that. And before we go into the power thought, let's just talk this through a little bit. Like, do you think that, like, where are you at with these bursts of emotion? Like, do you think that's normal? Like, tell me where your mind is, because I hear some judgment.
Yeah, I think there is some judgment. I've been in no BS for I think almost like 5 years. And at first, like my accountability team will tell you, like I would not cry, I wouldn't express emotion. And so I really have learned to feel the feels. But now it's just like enough for God's sake. It's almost like it feels like it's becoming like a habit. Like I have to go through these and I don't like it. Like, I don't like the feeling of sad. I think it's like, everybody's like, oh, you just let it all out. You feel so much better. I'm like, bullshit. I don't feel better.
Yeah. Okay. So you don't like the feeling of sad, but let me ask
No.
you this. Do you really not want to feel sad about your husband's throat cancer?
I'm always feeling sad. That's the thing. And yeah. it just affects everything. And I don't know. I'm unable to turn it off now. And it's mm-hmm. really hard because he's like getting into his final stages. And I go through all the things, you know, it's unfair. And this isn't what I expected. And, you know, they all kind of hit me, boom, boom, boom. And everyone, I knocked down. And then at the end, like, I'm just so tired of, you know, sticking my future self is constantly sticking up for myself and working with me. But then I really do go to bed like exhausted.
Of course you do. Of course you do. But let me ask you this. Do you really think like a power thought is going to make you not upset about your husband in the final stages of his life?
No, but I'm looking for someone to help me cope.
Right. You're looking for relief. And I want to support you in that. And we can come up with a power thought. And I think that can be really helpful. But what can we really do to actually allow your feelings to come in and feel them, which you're doing, and accept them without like that constant resistance and pushing them away, which is probably extra why they're coming in and flooding you, right? Because you're really resisting them. You're even having feelings about your feelings, like constantly there.
Yeah.
Right. It's like very meta for you right now. Like, what do you want to think and feel about your husband in the final stages of his life, though? Really?
I just want to know that, you know, he's well taken care of and that we're carrying out his final wishes that he wants. Like, he's at home and my life isn't always going to be like this and this will pass. Like, I tell myself all of those.
Yeah. Right now, I think you're telling yourself those because you think that's going to take away your pain and sadness, though. And I guess maybe I'm here to offer you, like, you're supposed to have the pain and sadness.
Just always?
I mean, for a while, I would think, I mean, I don't know because I haven't experienced it, right? But, like, I would think it is possible that between now and the end, yeah, maybe always. Like, what would that be like if you just decided, I'm supposed to feel this terrible and I can feel these other things too.
Yeah. If I just accepted it, probably better. Like, because right now I'm like, this sucks. It shouldn't be this way. I need to do something.
Yes. Like right now you are arguing with the reality of the situation. And that's not actually getting you anything, just like frustrated about your emotions.
Yeah.
So what would it look like? Like, how would you embrace the true pain and sadness that you want to feel because this is your loved one, but then also trust that it's not going to always be this way. And all the things you actually just said to me that were so beautiful, like, you know, an end will come, you know, it won't always be this way. It won't always be this terrible, but at the same time, honoring that it is right now.
Yeah. It's just so hard for me to honor it right now and to honor this, you know, like.
Tell me why.
Because I feel like I'm falling apart. I feel like I can't have conversations with people. I'm lonely. I feel like this is unfair.
Yeah.
Just everything. And it just keeps coming up. Like, you know, somebody says something about their husband and I'm thinking, yeah, well, mine's dying. So you should be nice to yours. Like, I just can't get out of my head.
Yeah. Yes. And is any of that wrong?
No.
Right.
I'm tired of it.
Okay. So be tired of it. And what? Tell me, what else can you be?
And accept it and know that it's, you know, God's time is perfect.
Mm.
When he goes, he goes. And but those are all good things. You know, I'm the one. It's really, you know, like thinking about it, like I he's at in-home hospice, and I have already gone through like all the mental work on me being his nurse and giving him the medicine and everything. But it just sometimes, Julie, it just feels like it's just too much. Yeah. I just don't know if I have what it takes to handle it. And then I tell myself, you're a badass. You can do it.
Let me offer you this, Deborah. Like, you know, you have what it takes because you're right here, right now. We're talking about it. So like, you are doing it. Therefore, you have what it takes. It's okay that your brain offers you like all the other crap, because that's what your brain is trying to protect you from, this horrible experience.
Yeah.
Of course it is. Mm-hmm. Of course it is. But at the same time, you know, you can handle it, because in fact, you have handled every minute up to and including this moment.
I do.
You had said like, I'm afraid I'm going to fall apart. Well, if... First of all, that's how you define it. But like, if this is fall apart, then you're falling apart while you're handling it. So what's the problem?
Yeah.
Or like, you're showing up, like, even if it's not badass, right? Like, I know you're a badass. I freaking know you're a badass. Right. But even if we don't call it that, it's like, you literally, even when you said it, like, God's time, your voice changed, you sighed, you sat back, your tone changed. Like, I could see like you really do trust that you really do got it.
Yeah.
Just the screaming part of your brain wants to scream loud. This isn't fair. This isn't right. Like,
it's just going loud. Like, it's never been this loud. You know, it's nothing like an urge. Fuck, I can handle an urge. Like, this is nothing. This is like insidious. Like, my brain just keeps throwing crap up.
Yeah. So, but let me offer you this. Probably there's a part, you can always tell me I'm wrong, right? But probably there's a part of you, you are resisting that part of you so much that she's yelling louder and louder. And I dare you to turn back towards yourself and like, just say, I am here. I am all in on your full experience. This fucking sucks. Right? Like, you're not wrong. I do hate it. Mm-hmm. Right? I think there's so many of us, especially strong, powerful women, right? So many of us deny our true life experience. It's like, this experience sucks. And there's a part of you that's screaming, stop and acknowledge me.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you have to make peace with the fact that it sucks so bad, you know?
Yes. Yes. Can you acknowledge you, Deborah?
I think so.
How are you going to do that?
Well, I'm going to tell myself that it's just emotions. It's never killed anybody. You know, just sit in your emotion for a while and see how it feels in your body.
You know, in the four N's, noticing your thinking, normalizing. This isn't even a thinking, right? So I'm modifying the four N's for Deborah. This is all about noticing your feelings and normalizing, right? Like, of course you feel all the levels of horseshit around your husband dying.
Yeah.
So I want you to use the four N's, like, notice your feeling, right? Like, then it's a stop, drop, and feel. Like, I owe myself to show up for my husband the way that I'm doing it. I owe myself feeling this feeling right now. Like, resisting it is not working.
Yeah.
And then what would it look like to normalize the feeling?
Yeah, that would be... Because I see the feeling is, oh, here it comes. I don't want to do this. Like, why does this
always... Right. Yeah. Right. And really, it's just like, oh, here it comes. Of course, welcome in. Like, there's no lock on the door. You can just come on in and come and go as you please, because this situation fucking sucks.
Yeah.
So this is, I want you to take the four N's, but with feelings. And really, it's noticing and normalizing are the two. Okay. And in the Trusting Your Body course, so on the Understanding My Thinking Pathways, there's the relationship course. Great for those that are listening. In the Trusting Your Body course, there's the Now Plus Nurture. In a way, that's what we're talking about. Naming the feeling, being open to feeling it.
Yeah.
Witnessing it just enough in the third person that you can just step in like you're watching the movie of your own life, but you're really up close. Like you're in the front row.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then what I'm asking of you is that real nurture piece. And in your case, the nurture comes with like self-acceptance and normalizing and just like validating the part of you that's screaming.
I don't know how to validate the part that's screaming. I mean, just that you just listen to what it says and you agree with it. Like, yeah.
I know so many of you have seen me do this, but I kind of put my hand on my heart. I imagine like the back of a newborn baby. And I think about it like that, like a mom with a newborn baby, and they rub the baby's back like really softly. And that cooing voice that a mom, only a mom can give to a baby. And yeah. I hear my own voice like that, like, Julie, I got you. Like, I totally understand. This fucking sucks. I'm right here. I got you. I'm with you.
Right? I do that with my future self. I do. Yes. And it does help. It does. But I right. just...
We know there's nothing you're going to do or say to yourself that's going to really take this away, right?
No, I know. I know.
Okay.
I just wanted to really kind of just face it, talk about it. You know, I don't want to have these feelings about my feelings. And I knew that that was something she had talked about before. And it was like, wow, you need to get hold of that.
Okay.
Okay.
So you've got a plan. You know how to find me and Ask Coaches and Facebook. You can post and Ask Coaches and tag attention to me. I am right here for you all the way through. You reach out when you need me or any of the No BS coaches. We got you. And you know, anybody in the chat, let's send Deborah some love here. Like, you are so brave for bringing this to a coaching call. And I admire you for how you're choosing to show up. You Thank are you. A role model for what is possible here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing yourself with us.
All right. Thanks.
Take care of you.
I will.
Okay. Deborah, thank you so much. We're all sending you all of our love across the country here. Cheryl, I'm going to promote you to panelist. I'm going to ask you to unmute and you've got your video going. There you go. Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
What are we working on together today?
So today I wanted to talk to apply the 4Ns to self-love and to work on attracting a relationship, loving myself more, not letting body hatred be a barrier.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do it. So tell me a thought you have about your body that you want to work through the 4Ns with me on.
Well, I think, you know, just the larger size makes it not as attractive.
Is that true?
Well, I've been watching all of the posts and I haven't seen one single post that I was like, you know, every single post I've seen has been an expression of beauty in different sizes, different colors, and different expressions. So I'm definitely learning a lot from that. I just haven't yet been able to close the gap to apply it to myself.
Okay. Well, let's talk about it. So tell me your exact thought that you notice you have regularly about your body.
That I'm never going to be able to attract a partner because I'm too large of a size.
Okay. So Why is it normal that you think that about yourself?
I think culturally it's, you know, it's in a lot of images in the media, you know, in stores. Once I pass a size 14, I've lost my ability to try on clothes. Mm-hmm. So I think it's culturally a story that is often told.
Okay. So it's normal because you have these reinforcements in the world that say that this is true.
Agree.
Okay. So tell me what neutral is. What would you say to make this a completely neutral?
I have written this a gazillion times, which is why I'm on this life coaching today, because it's not taking. This is what I write. I write, I am 55 years old, divorced, and then I write my current weight, whatever it is. Always, it started with a 2 for 2023. And then I say, I am single. That's what I write. Seriously, this year, I've probably written that 100 times, no lie.
Okay. And let me ask you this. When you write those things, do you have emotions or feelings?
Like I do. I feel like at 55, I feel like, I hope no one holds this against me. I feel like my time is over. I feel like game over. I feel like not on the market anymore. Take up knitting and move on. And for those who like knitting, I'm sorry, I do not.
I love it. Okay, so let's talk about this though. So with neutral, the idea is you take your shitty thought, right? You normalize it and then you get it down to the most neutral, absolutely factual, nothing heated, no descriptors, no adjectives, almost like it is arguable in a court of law. Like the judge would be like, yes, that's a fact. And so by me asking you if you feel something and about your facts, even though they are technically facts, right? You were very factual about your age and the number and the fact that you're divorced. The fact that they fire you up emotionally means we haven't neutralized enough. And this is something that some of my private clients have a hard time with because they're like, well, you say that neutral equals the facts. And these are the facts. But sometimes there's facts that cause so much heat inside of us that even though they are technically facts, they are not neutral enough. So let's go through a couple and see if we can neutralize better. Okay. So if I give you a neutral, I have a human body, what do you think and feel?
Grateful.
Okay. So that's a little different, right? Like, it maybe isn't neutral, but it's a super positive feeling. So like, let's land there. So a neutral is like human body. I have a human body. But if and when you have thoughts about that fact, you feel something positive. So I think let's land there for a minute. So from I have a human body, what could be a next best thought that you could have?
My body allows me to use energy. That's not neutral though.
No, we're on next best. So we've moved past neutral and now we're like, how do you want to think about your body? So you were kind of thinking, I'm never going to attract a partner because of my size. We've normalized that. We've neutralized it to like, you have a human body. So what would be, let's start with a dream thought that like maybe isn't believable yet, and then we'll work it back to something believable. So what would you like absolutely love to think about your body?
That it's attractive.
Okay. Is that believable to you right now?
Not right now, no.
Okay. So your like pie in the sky, not believable thought is I'm attractive. Now, yes. For anybody listening, this is subjective, right? So this is all about what Cheryl thinks about herself. So, okay, are you able to adopt a new, more modified thought that's more doable? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I think where I was going before I got confused, thinking that it was the neutral thought, one of the things I feel energy really strongly, like, you know, I thought everyone did. And then I started talking about it and people looked at me like, the heck are you talking about? So that's a gift. Like I really feel other people's energy.
Okay. That's really beautiful. So when you take that gift and you apply that to yourself, are you able to see that you're through your being a no BS woman, you're learning to believe that you are attractive?
Yes. Oh, no question. I mean, I'm not kidding when I say every woman I look at on Facebook is beautiful. And so I know another no BS woman on Facebook. So ergo, beautiful. And so I'm getting closer. Absolutely.
Okay. So this is a very doable next best thought for you then, because right away when I asked you that question, like, are you learning to believe that you're attractive? You kind of lit up and jumped like, yes. And so we know that sometimes like that pie in the sky, next best thought, we don't want to land there because it's not believable. So you're not going to practice it. But a next best thought to practice for sure would be, I'm learning to believe that I'm attractive. So
yeah, I like that. I'm writing that down.
Okay. So how are you going to practice that?
I'm so close. Well, it's so funny. I've never owned a two-piece in my whole entire life, including when I was a child, that was reserved for the thinner sisters. And didn't I go online and buy a two-piece from Lands End that's arriving on Friday, bright pink, and I'm taking a picture and posting it on the book when it comes in. So, you know, obviously, hopefully our little group, our no BS women's group. So not to say that that's attractive, but doing things that other attractive women do.
Okay. So like modeling behavior, like owning what your future self who's attractive, but doing the things that she would do.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so good. I love that. And are you going to talk to her at all about this?
Oh, no, it's very secretive, top secret. I'm just simply putting it on, having my sister take the picture, posting it, and never thinking about it again.
Are you going to talk to you about it?
I think that's why I signed up to be coached. I want to.
Okay. So what do you think would be an obvious first step
to talking? It's okay that I want to be attractive. That's okay. Like, make that be okay.
Totally. And then how can you look at yourself in the mirror and find something about yourself that you want to choose to identify as attractive today?
I mean, I have things about myself that I think are attractive.
Tell me, give them to me.
I like my eyes. I like my smile.
Yeah. So good. This is part of it, right? Like your future self may think her entire body is attractive and will totally believe that. But you today, she is you. And so tapping into the parts of you that you already see that way and talking lovingly to the other parts. I literally cannot stand my neck, people. I don't think I've ever said that on camera before. I'm very sensitive about my neck, like so sensitive. And I wear turtlenecks all the time. Go back, watch calls. I always wear turtlenecks, right? But I like look at myself in the mirror and I tell myself how much I love my own sparkly eyes and like the genuineness of my smile and that my neck is attached to those things. And it's fine. I don't even have to love it, but it's holding my head up. And I love the brain, right? It's like how you get to speak to yourself. You get to give yourself the gift of that love. So how about we create a plan together? You're going to do the picture. So that's cool. But what are you going to do on a daily basis?
I think you said it so clearly, and I'm so grateful that I was able to hear it. You know, the doable amounts, like that's how I can't tell you how many times I've tried to lose food, but it's always a loose, always all or nothing. And this, like, if you had told me I could eat like a brownie and still lose weight that week, I would have said, nope, you're lying. So I think it's the same thing. Like if I can like my eyes or smile or whatever I identify, I totally believe you that I will find my body attractive someday. I totally believe you because I'm down X amount of pounds. way more than I expected in 6 months, been able to eat things I like. So I totally believe you. Totally.
And I want you to know, like, you can find yourself beautiful in your present body while you find yourself beautiful in your present body every day of your life, all the way to your goal. Your beauty is not defined by that weight. I would love to see you, like, look, if you finish the No BS weight loss course.
Yes.
Okay. So if you are on a pathway, amazing. If you haven't done a pathway yet, I would recommend doing the Understanding My Thinking pathway, because there's so much there about, like, that self-love. And I think this is an area where you could really amp up, right? Like, loving every minute of who you are today, every day on the way down the scale. So many No BS women, we think we have to hate ourselves to get results.
And okay, really, that's really helpful. Thank you.
You get to love yourself to get results. Okay, so come to Ask Coaches in like 30 days. Check in with me. Let me know all the ways. Track on your habit tracker all the ways you found things about yourself to love that day. And I would love to see you at the end of that 30 days, read that long list and see how beautiful you already are right now, that we all see, that you're learning to see.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I'll definitely do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. So good to see you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mish, for putting the link to that pathway. You guys, like, this is truly my life's mission. Like, we all land at No BS for different reasons, at different sizes, in different ways, but you truly are entitled to love you fully every minute of the way. You don't have to hate yourself today because you aren't the weight you want to be. It's just like one tiny factor of your humanness. Look at me getting all fired up and emotional. It's just one tiny factor of your humanness. You get to be beautiful right now, however you are. Okay. Off my soapbox. Rachel. No, let's see. I'm just making sure I've got the right names. Yes, Rachel. Sorry. Got all emotional. Doing the crying. Doing the crying, people. What can I say? Got the nose running, got the snot, got the tears. All right. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Oh, so good to see you. What are you working on with me today?
So my three children and I moved from Texas to California a little over 2.5 weeks ago. And things were really rough there, and I kind of had this hope that when I got here, I would all of a sudden just want to spend all my time with them, and everything was going to be lovely. And I've allowed myself to honestly be annoyed by them. Like, if I hear them coming down the hallway, I start cringing. If I hear them say "mom," I'm like rolling my eyes. I don't really want to spend time with them, or okay, when I do, I rush through the time with them, and I'm so unhappy about that, because it's the summer and this is the first summer that I'm not full-time working, so I really want to be with them, but I'm just not feeling that way.
So you want to be with your kids, don't want to be with your kids, and why is that even a problem?
Well, because that's not completely true. There's a huge part of me that does want. I mean, like, I feel like the desire is somewhere in there. I can't channel it, but I feel like it's in there.
Well, let's just start with the opposite side of it. Okay. Yet, right? Like, you're hunting for the desire, so you do it. Fine, we can talk about that, but tell me why it's a problem that you're annoyed by them, or that you, like, hear them coming down the hall and are just like, don't want to deal with it.
I think because I feel like it's obvious and they're picking up on it. Like, they are, you know, they have commented that that like it seems like I'm not myself or I'm withdrawn. And so I feel like that's what makes it the problem, because it's affecting them, you know. And that's like, if I could secretly do it, it wouldn't feel as bad. But it's like, I mean, I'm not very good at holding back the rolling of my eyes and be like, what, you know? So that's what I'm making mean that's bad, is that like they're picking up on it too.
Well, are moms not supposed to ever be annoyed with their kid? I'm just curious.
No, they can be. I just feel like I'm always annoyed with them.
Like, no. Before the move, always, or since the move, always? Tell me about it.
Both. But back then, I think for me, I was like, I'm annoyed because we're moving. I'm annoyed because things are stressed out. I felt like it was justified. Now we're here, we're unpacked,
right?
You know, and I'm still annoyed. So that,
because you changed the circumstance of your life.
Yeah.
And your feelings are the same. What would need to change to make the feelings different?
My thoughts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, okay. So let's talk about it. Like, what do you think about your kids right now that's making you feel annoyed?
I mean, right now, I think like they're hyper, they don't listen, they're out of control. They're, you know, I'm just thinking all of these, like, they'll never be quiet. I can't take them anywhere. You know, I mean, I have a lot of negative thoughts about them.
Yeah. Well, so of course, like, if you have all those thoughts, like, it's no wonder you feel annoyed.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's hold that over here. Yeah. Can we just agree that that might be fine, but we don't know yet? Okay. Tell me what else you think about your kids.
I think they're resilient and they're brave, and I'm just, everything they've been through this year, I'm just proud of them. Strong, creative, outgoing.
And what do all those thoughts make you feel? And I'm sure they each make you feel something a little different, but what do they make you feel?
It makes me feel good, but I also, talking about it, guilty too, that I don't focus on that part.
Right. This is just how the human brain is, though. Yeah. Like, so many of our brains just go directly to the negative of things. So is it possible that you could feel like, have all those thoughts and feelings together?
Yes, it's possible. I would like to give like an even amount of airplay, because I just don't feel like the other stuff is just like, when somebody asks me, then I think about it, but I don't think about it on my own normally.
Okay. So this is like a fantastic idea, right? Have you heard Corinne talk about equal airtime?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So like, this is a fantastic opportunity. You're like aware that you're not giving equal airtime to other possible thoughts and feelings. So you have all these thoughts that create annoyance, and you're like hanging out, entertaining those, right? And so what do you think it would take for you to wake up your brain to offer yourself equal airtime, mm-hmm, when you notice you're focusing on all the thoughts and feelings? Well, really all the thoughts that create the annoyance.
I need like a bell or like something to like, hello. Cause yeah, it's the other so knee jerk, you know, like, right. There has to be like something in place. I mean, I would like to say it's something internal, but it might have to start off with being, I don't know, like asking somebody to help me remind or put post-it notes. I don't know, something.
Yeah. Like, I think you've got some good ideas there.
Yeah.
So we'll talk in a second. I'm actually going to make a note. You were talking about like, you wish it was automatic or internal. We'll talk about that in a second. I don't want to drop it though, but I think this is such a great idea. Post-it notes are great. You could set a reminder on your phone. You could set a little alarm to go off. Like, I don't know what time you get up in the morning or what your routine is, but like before you swing your legs out of a bed, you could have like an intentional somewhere between 30 seconds and 5 minutes where you're like, this is the time where I like choose to think about them on purpose, these positive thoughts, all the ones that you listed. You could have an alarm go off in the middle of the day. You could have a note in your car or like on your car keys when you're about to drive them somewhere and annoyed, right? Like you literally, I love your idea of this reminder because this is true about all of us. Like intentional thinking, there's no automatic all the time. You said you wanted it to be internal, but it may not be. It may not ever be totally internal, but who cares? So tell me what sounds like doable for you in terms of setting reminders.
I think definitely putting like a reminder on my phone. And then I have a friend here who kind of knows I'm struggling with this. And I think that she would be supportive to like text me throughout the day and just like, hey, give me a rundown on what's something they did that you love or, you know, something like that. I think she would help me with that also.
That's so good. You could leave a like sticky note on your pillow to when you go to bed at night. That's the first thing you do before you go to bed is like sit there in gratitude for a minute or two and think about your kids and the good stuff. You know, for Father's Day, I gave my dad this little tiny book. It was like $6.95 and it had 40 questions in it. It was like, I love it when you, and it had a blank. And I was like, you know, answer the phone like this sentence. And, you know, you have the most handsome, you know, and I put smile or whatever. And there are so many tools out there, even online, to create yourself, like creating something like that for yourself first. So you like connect to all the ways that you like adore your children, and then maybe considering giving them the gift of something like that from, you know, either truly like a little tool like that. Maybe it's in a note form or a love form or in a sticky note in lunchbox or lunch bag, depending on what their days are like. But there's a lot of ways you can wake up your brain to give it equal airtime for what else is possible, particularly when you say and, right? So can you imagine like all the thoughts you had and then like you're feeling annoyed and then committing a doable step of saying, and what else is true?
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah.
Okay. So you've got like stickies, phone reminders, friend, lots of ideas of sharing with your children, the love and connection. When are you going to implement this?
Tonight.
Okay. And I highly recommend, like, again, there's this thing about like, Corinne's talked about it, but there's a lot of science around the brain. Like it can take 60 to 90 days to create a new habit. But like 30 days of consistency is a really great start. Those of you who don't know, and I think you do because you've been around a little bit, we have the phases of change where you like wake up your brain is the first phase, and that's like 20/80. And you kind of get like a little momentum, 40/60, and then the pendulum swings and you're at 60/40. And then 80/20 is considered a fully developed new habit. So I would love to see you commit to doing this for the first 30 days. 80/20 is 5 of 7 days a week.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, I can do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I want to hear all about it. At the end of your 30 days, definitely reach out to me and ask coaches so I can hear how it's going and support you along the way.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll see you real soon. I love this. The thing about that topic is that this applies to all of us who hasn't been annoyed at their child, their spouse, their parent, a teacher, a boss, a next door neighbor. But most of the time, if we like really put our minds to it, there's also this other and. What is their positive quality? What is the thing I like and appreciate about them? Ada or Aida, I'm not sure. I'd like to hear how to pronounce your name. I want to be able to say it correctly. Promote to panelist. All right. So good. I'm so happy you guys are all here. What a fun night. And I just want to tell you, so I'm in my new house. We've moved to the Oregon coast. And it's a little bit like I'm in the zoo. I have sat here and I have all windows here on the other side of my office. I have seen a coyote. I have seen fox and I have seen deer sitting here. And I feel like I am the one in the zoo and they're outside looking at me. And it's so incredibly cool. Hi there.
Hi, Julie.
Tell me, please, how to say your name so I say it correctly.
It's Aida. Aida.
Aida. Aida. Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate your kindness around that.
Thank
so
you.
Tell me.
And I have to say, I love your new hairstyle.
Thank you so much.
I don't know how long you've had it because I haven't seen you in a while, but it's very flattering on you.
Thank you. It's pretty darn new. You know, I'm always trying something new around here. So this is like second day of curling. So I'm teaching. Wow. So, you know, Corinne teaches us to create boom goals. So blow our own mind goals. So in 2007, when I fell, I lost the use of my right hand. And that's when I gained all my weight. And most NoBS women know this story if they've been around a little while, but I don't talk about it all the time. And so I am not very good with the hair tools, curling irons, straightening irons, or anything. So one of my boom goals this year is to figure out hairstyles and makeup that I can do with this hand and not this one.
Oh.
And so I started trying this yesterday in preparation for camp in July because I want to have figured it out in time for camp. So thank you for noticing.
So far, so good.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. So enough about me. Tell me about you. What are we working on?
Okay. So I wrote in about struggles I've been having with my relationship with my husband. And I have to, you know, I expressed it in the chat when Deborah was on first call. I was like, oh God, she's going through compared to me. I felt like this is a silly thing to bring, but we all have our own stuff. So anyway. My heart goes out to her. So I wrote in that, you know, he has a very short fuse. We don't communicate well. I'm just looking at my notes. We just started therapy a few weeks ago. In fact, we just had a session right before this call. So it's kind of like very present. He's very defensive and it's hard for me to share my feelings. And I think one of the key things is that he knows I'm not in love with him. And that affects all of our interaction. We've been married we had our 22nd anniversary on June 9th of this month. And I could not get myself to even buy him a card. Like this was the first year where I thought I'm being false if I buy a card and all the cards are, you know, they have the pre-written messages, like you're the love of my life. And like, you know, it's like, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you just a couple of questions to frame this. So I understand. Were you ever quote unquote in love with him?
I think I was in the very beginning. It's interesting because it actually took, like when I first met him, I was like, oh, nice guy, but I'm not like physically attracted to him. Mm-hmm. And it took like, he was very, persevered with me. I was just kind of like, not so sure. And it wasn't until after 8 dates that he actually had the nerve to kiss me at the end of the evening. So that's never been like our big things, not for me, the physical part. It's always been more about having shared goals and enjoying doing the same things and sense of humor and being a good person. those have always been kind of the things that I that were important to me that I liked. I mean, in every relationship, there's going to be things that are missing that you're not getting, right? But I think that over the years for him, I don't know if you've heard of the book, The Five Love Languages.
100%.
Yeah. So our therapist is having us reread, or I've read it before many years ago, but she's having us read it again. And even before he told me, I said, your love language is probably physical touch. And it was true. And, you know, that's one area where I'm not, I'm just not there right now. And I haven't been for a long time.
Yeah.
So
his love language is physical touch. What is yours?
I put acts of service as the first one and then affirmations as the second.
Okay.
Close.
And you guys are working on your marriage. You want to be in relationship with each other.
I think him more than me. Me, it's kind of more about fear and financial stuff. And we still have one daughter at home. She's just finished freshman year in high school. Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't know. We'll see what comes out of this. I mean, it's still very new. So, you know, the therapy.
What are you wanting for your life, right? Like, we can't coach him here, mm-hmm. but we can coach you. What is it that you want right now while you're in relationship with him?
I want to be able to have the freedom to work on myself and develop myself more and not feel this pressure to live up to his expectations and what he wants. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds selfish, but you know, it's like the first time in my life where I'm putting myself first.
What makes you think it sounds selfish?
Well, you know, because what he needs right now is not as important to me. Like I'm more important right now in what I'm going through and what I need.
Mm-hmm. And why is that selfish again?
Well, anyone from the outside would say that's being selfish. I mean, but just right before this call, we had a therapy session and she kind of near the end of the call, she's like, you know, you come together as two people, but you're one. And I was like, no, I wouldn't like, I didn't say anything, but inside I was like, no, I'm still my own person, you know?
No, I think this is so important for you, right? Like it's really important to work on relationship with yourself and then in partnership with someone else. So like you sound like very like clear on what you want for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is it clear in your relationship what you want for you and then in partnership with him?
Because probably not. No, probably not. I mean, I think one of the things that's come up in our sessions is that communication is not great between us. You know, I think we misunderstand each other. We don't communicate a lot. But I also feel like if I express that to him, if I said, you know, now is me time, I want to focus on me, mm-hmm. that would be offensive to him. That would be like a danger, you know.
Yeah.
He's becoming too independent.
Why is it a problem that he has a response like that for you? Like, what do you think it means that he has a response when you want to focus on you?
Well, if it's a negative response and it's not supportive, it feels constricting. Like it feels controlling.
What are you thinking about his response that makes you feel, right? Because we know your own thoughts create your own feelings. So mm-hmm. what are you thinking about his response that makes you feel controlled and restricted?
I guess I don't want him to react in a negative way. You know, I don't want him to get angry. Because then it makes me feel bad, you know, and that's where the guilt comes in, right?
So, but like you have an idea of like how you want him to show up. So you have like a little playbook and he's not playing by the rules that make you feel good. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And this is why it's a problem.
Yeah. Because, well, no one wants someone else to be upset with them, right? Especially if they're doing something for themselves.
Sure. Yes. And he's entitled to his own thoughts and feelings. Aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
So what if it didn't matter how he actually thought and felt about it? Like you trusted he's really entitled to that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of laid down your own playbook.
So not let it like affect me emotionally. Just be like, okay, I get you. I understand this is not something you like.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, it's so hard to do that when you live with someone and you can feel their energy, like, you know. And then it just has a ripple effect into the rest of your life, right? Because then it's like, maybe he's a little more short with me the next day. Or, you know, there's always like the after effects of that.
So you think that it's hard? Does it have to be?
It doesn't have to be. I just need to... I need to not be so affected by it.
I want you to imagine this. You know, here he is, mouth flapping, and mm-hmm. you're like, husband said words, and you think what?
I'm being selfish, you know. Maybe I'm not working hard enough at this.
Right. It's like not even him doing the judging. It's you doing the judging of you.
Yeah, I guess it's because I'm not anticipating. What's the right word?
You're anticipating his response and you're sure. I mean, and that's totally normal, right? Like, don't hear me saying you're doing anything abnormal because I'm not. But just imagine the freedom you could have if you were like, husband said words and he can. Husband thinks this and he can.
Mm-hmm. But you don't want people to think about you in a way that you don't think is fair or that you don't think is, I don't know. I guess I shouldn't care, but it's very hard not to care about how your husband thinks about you.
Well, I think this may be some of your work, Aida, is like you teaching yourself to care more about your own thoughts and feelings and care enough about him to give him the space to have his own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so probably where I have some trouble. Yeah, I can see that.
So what would that look like? What would be like a very clear, doable first step? Like, we know husband's going to say words. And you think what?
That's his perception of the situation.
That's good. And how does that thought make you feel?
Less attached, less like trying to fight for my corner, you know?
That's so good. I think this will be a great practice for you. Because here's the thing. You are already in therapy with him. So you are getting the level of support your relationship needs. You guys can like, there's different therapists if you aren't happy with the one you have. They're going to give you all different kinds of assignments. You're working on the two of you. But what I heard you tell me is you really want to focus on your own self-development, and outside of your therapy container, you get to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And a husband can say words and think what he wants. And it's your personal practice to decide that he's first entitled to his own thoughts and feelings. And second, even if they are words that you would prefer him not have,
mm-hmm.
you're arguing with the reality of it in that he is having those thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And sort of trying to invalidate his thoughts and feelings and make them wrong so that you can be right, so he'll do it your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know who's wrong or right, but I get to know that you get to focus on you if you want to.
Yeah.
And right now you're kind of tying yourself up in like...
I'm trying to control his experience.
Yeah. Yeah, and your own, you're like, oh, but it sucks if he thinks bad things about me. So then I'm over here not doing good things for me, but then I'm blaming him. But really it's me stopping me because he said words.
Mm-hmm.
So your homework here, you two, 30 days. Everybody's gotten a 30-day homework.
Oh, no.
Your homework is to stop and like allow yourself, like hear husband's words, the feelings come in, no problem, right? You're doing nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then decide on purpose. Like, do I want to focus on like resisting and rejecting and trying to shape and control that? Or your own,
yeah,
your own journey.
Stay in my lane.
Yeah. Or you could say, yeah, I really do want to focus on that. And then at least you're owning the choice. Right now, it's sort of like in your mind, it seems like you think it's kind of happening to you and it's stopping you.
Mm-hmm.
But at least if you're like, yeah, I want to focus on that. Like, I don't like him saying that to me. It's like, okay, well, at least you can own it and be like, no, I'm choosing to focus on that. Which means I'm choosing to not self-develop.
Right.
So like owning your own choice.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's the my time of life where I'm choosing myself. Not first always, but trying to do it more, because previously I was always a people pleaser and put other people's needs before mine. But you know, I'm in my mid 50s. It's like, it's my time now.
So that moment, there's that choice and you can own the focus on him and or choose you. And like literally how you choose you, journaling, tracking, like make sure you keep track of this work that you're doing so you can start to give yourself credit of like, oh, husband said words, I didn't respond. Just like, thank you for your feedback.
Mm-hmm.
I care about you, how you feel, and I'm still going to stay on this course, right? There's so many opportunities for you there.
So will this be one of my new habit trackers?
I think it should, right? Like that extra box that's blank. This is all four of you today. That's your homework would be your habit tracker homework, right?
Well, that's part of self-development, right? It's part of the self-development bubble.
100%.
All right. Thank you so much, Julie. Appreciate
Thank you it. So much. I appreciate you. Well, the time has come, everyone. We are at the end of this call. Thank you so much. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, Meesh and Dina, Coach Meesh and Coach Dina, for being here. What a gift it's been to be with you today. Love and hugs to all of you. Have a great night.